Good morning once again.
Good morning.
Man, it is good to have everyone out this morning. Beautiful day out there. It's absolutely gorgeous. I hope that you're able to go out and enjoy it after the service and stuff is over. But before we get to that, we're going to have a little discussion here this morning. So I'd like to take some time. I always like to take time once a year to talk about missions, because missions is so important when we talk about the body of Christ working together. That is a part of our job, is to work in missions. You know, we've had a few missionaries that have come over the past few years, and they've talked about their experiences. You know, we've had some from Uganda. We've had actually a couple from the church that have gone down to Florida. And believe it or not, when we send young men and women to go down on a trip to Florida, that is actually part of the missions field, and they've done a great job with that. I know Jacob was able to do that here, I think it was last year or the year before that we sent him down to Florida. But they've talked about their experiences and how the gospel is changing people's hearts, and it's always important for us as a church to hear how God's word is actually working in other people's lives, not only in the lives of our local community, but in the world as a whole, because it is so vital that the gospel is taking that message of Jesus Christ, that saving salvation of Jesus, into all the world. And today we're going to have a couple of guests come up, and why don't you guys go ahead and come on up. This is Aaron and Nathan McDade. Oh, man. They didn't catch that clue. That was a round of applause moment. You're welcome. You know, as we look at missions as a whole, the entire Bible, it can be described in a number of different ways. And a lot of times it is described as a love letter, because that's what God is actually doing. He is showing us his amazing love. And we're all made in the image of Christ. Every human being is made in the image of Christ, which makes us unique. And he has given us so many blessings. But one of those blessings that we have as when we become a follower of Christ is we become part of the family. And for those of you that don't know, when you're part of a family, you actually have some responsibility to have, right? There's responsibility there. You know, and Jesus talks about this responsibility in Matthew 28, verses 16 through 19. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age." You know, that is a passage that many pastors will use on Mission Sunday because that is our call. That's our calling for each and every one of us, is to go and make disciples. But how do we do it? Right? I thought about that. How do we go and make disciples of all nations? Well, in Psalm 96, 1 through 3, "Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day, declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among the people." I chose that because I thought that it was fitting that when we go with joy and gladness. You know, it's not something that we do because, you know, we have to. It's something we do because we want to. So, as we get started here this morning, I invited Aaron to come and share with us because, you know, she works for, who do you work for?
I work for CMF International, which just means Christian Missionary Fellowship International.
All right. So, I invited Aaron to come and I left, this is Nathan, by the way, and I call him Nate because he comes to, he's a chaplain for Marketplace Chaplains, and they come to DOT. You come once a week, and you know, he was telling me that Aaron does this, and maybe I should get in contact with her, and I left him completely out of the picture. Kind of like the dad
fail. He sticks around, Scott. He keeps coming around.
I'm her caddy, her driver. I carried in the stuff. Glad to be here.
Now, how long have you guys been married?
We were just telling your folks who just celebrated 50 years. We're coming up on 20. This summer, July will be 19 years married for us. So next year will be 20.
Congratulations. Young pups. So Aaron, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do with CMF?
I'd be glad to. So, and Nathan says that he's just my caddy, but really we get to do a lot of this together, even though I might be the one who works for CMF now. I serve as their Director of Advancement, which is just a fancy way of saying I get the awesome privilege of working with people and communities like Milton to figure out ways that you can be a part of God's mission in this world. And sometimes that happens through service, so people who want to go and actually serve internationally. And often that comes through different ways of partnering in God's mission too, through support of all different kinds. So I get the privilege of coming along and being with people and having these conversations.
Oh, that's awesome, you know. And how long have you been doing this? How long have you been in this role?
This role for only 3 years.
Okay.
So right before the pandemic, but Nathan and I have been a part of CMF for, goodness, it's been 23 years when I had my first experience. And we served as missionaries with them in Mexico for a number of years. And that was 16 years ago? No more.
Yeah, we were in Mexico. So, yeah, we've both been connected with CMF in one way or another since, for me, it was 1999. I think it was
99 as well?
Yeah, so, and then we were CMF missionaries in Mexico for a little over 7 years. When we left there and moved back to the States, Aaron served on the CMF board, and then 3 years ago, we moved here for her to take this job. So,
man, that's been a long journey for you guys.
Yeah, we're from Georgia originally, born and raised there. Got connected to campus ministry through our time in college. We were campus ministers for about 10 years or so, 7 of those in Mexico. Then we served as pastors at a church for about 7 years. Then we moved to Indiana right before COVID, and so it's been a very interesting first 3 years here.
Very strange.
It's funny, move to a new place, and then it's like, okay, reestablish your life, get to know people, but everyone, lock yourselves in your houses. It's kind of been interesting.
Oh, I bet it has. Now, you guys both have said you served down in Mexico, mm-hmm. Okay, and what were some of the experiences that you had down in Mexico? I mean, God does amazing things, but tell us some of the amazing things that he done through you guys down in Mexico.
Well, I'll say this, you know, Nathan and I met, as he said, at a campus ministry. We were actually going to Georgia Tech, and so he was studying engineering, I was studying industrial design. Neither one of us ever thought that we would be these people that would end up in Mexico serving through international missions. It just wasn't on our radar. But as we know, God does crazy things. And through just small steps of our faith growing and interaction with people and places unlike anything we grew up in, our heart was just open to what God was doing around this world. And so when we went down to work with college students, truly, we just wanted to establish a community where people could come and they could interact with Scripture. Many of them grew up nominally Catholic, so it was a part, they'd say it was a part of their identity, but not a part of their practice. And so for young people especially, a disconnect with the local church. And so to create this space where they could come and learn about Scripture and we could introduce them to what church looks like, life-changing, formative for us, especially just as we were establishing ourselves in our marriage. But I'd also like to say formative for our entire family.
Yeah, basically what we did is we went down there, we built a team, raised money, moved to Mexico, and started we were focused specifically on college students in this ministry, but working, getting to know local churches, and just, we're trying to live out the Matthew 28 calling and command of Jesus. And so as we were going, we entered their world, and we got to know students in whatever ways we could, and we just baptized them and taught them and served with them and loved them and gave them a home away from home and a community where they were loved and accepted and taught and befriended. And Along the way, we had two daughters, both born in Mexico. So they're these little
blonde-headed
white girls that are Mexicans. They have dual citizenship.
Very, very proud of that.
So that's a really cool part of their story and our story as well. They're with friends this morning at their church, headed to soccer after that. Next time we come through, we'll bring them with us. I kind of wish they were here right now. So we had two daughters while we were down there, and really didn't want to leave. We felt God called us to the next thing, but we were very happy there and loved the ministry.
And I think success...
And the weather.
And the weather. And the food. We didn't say the food.
And the food.
Yeah. I think success in that ministry, though, is where you see these young people who were distanced from God in their minds. God was always close to them, but they didn't have a relationship. Who are now, 16 to 17 years later, living out their faith in tangible ways. And so those are the stories that come to my mind when you even ask this question.
You know, it's amazing to me that that you guys chose college students. Now, I know that you were pretty close to that age at the time. Not so much
now.
What
are you trying to say, Scott?
what I'm trying to say is... That is a very important age group to be hitting because, I look around at, in the States right now, we have young people who grow up in the church, they go to college, and then all of a sudden college hits and it stops. It's done, right? It's something that I done as a kid, or, you know, it's something that mom and dad had me do. Right? Yeah. But you guys went to that group, that age group, and really began to impact them. You know, I mean, that's pretty special.
We love young adults. And even when we came back, after we left Mexico, we were at a church in Maryland. And we worked with a lot of young adults in various different ways. But one of the things we'd like to say, because this was our experience, is that's a time when your faith becomes your own. And when you sort of take, I like to use the analogy of like a backpack. Like, I like to go backpacking and stuff. You got all your stuff in there, your sleeping bag, your tent, and everything. If you think of your faith like that, college, young adulthood is a time where you sort of dump it all out on the table, mm-hmm. and you say, what do I still need? This is what my parents gave me. This is what my home church gave me. Is that what I believe, or is that what they believe? And we love the... Just being coming alongside them and helping wrestle through all those questions at such a crucial time and say, yeah, this actually is still good. Keep it, you know? And this maybe is your parents' thing, but you see it a little differently. You need to be a part of a little different church or whatever, but like, don't just throw it all out, you know? And it is a really great age.
It's where your faith, in our case, became our own. Though we both grew up in great churches, smaller churches, involved in youth group, it truly was that period where everything gets tested when you're away from your family and your community and all that which has been your support network. There's this sense of, I remember going to college, and if you would have asked me if I was a believer in Christ, I would have said yes, definitely. But I didn't know what it actually meant to live it out. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what it meant to have dependence on God until I got to college and got involved with a group of people who were on a similar path and others who were older and wiser and mentoring me through that time. So, yeah, I get emotional about it. It's such a pivotal age.
Well, yeah, you know, and I mean, that whole dependence upon God, I imagine when you are overseas or, you know, you're out of the country, that dependence on God really starts to come to life.
Yeah. It's intense, and it was so good for us to start our marriage that way, and to it was hard for, we're close to our families, so it was not some sort of thing where it's like, yeah, we'll move to Mexico, why not? It was like, God's calling us to do this, and it was very hard, but God blessed it, and He taught us to depend on Him first, and then each other next, and then then our kids kind of come into the picture, and then everybody else sort of lines up at number four, including even your parents and your supporters and all that stuff. And it really helped us shape our priorities for the long haul. And it actually has drawn us closer to our families in this weird way that can only be God's doing. You know?
Isn't it amazing that when we go to follow God He says, I need to be first. And we go, wait a second, that does not sound right. But that's what he demands. Me first. And then when we put him first, everything else falls into its rightful place. And you go, holy cow, this is so much better.
Yes.
It's so much better.
And another way to sort of say the same thing is like God says, you got to give it all to me.
Yeah.
And then if you actually do, as much as we're capable, then a lot of it he gives back to you, mm-hmm. but in the right place, in the yes. right order, like you're saying.
Yep.
And it's really incredible how he's faithful like that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And God keeps teaching us about dependence, and it happens through the scripture that you read, the go and make disciples. I mean, even telling a little bit about our story from Georgia, went to Mexico, lived there, God called to Maryland, serving in a church there, and now coming to Indiana. We never imagined in our almost 20 years of marriage that we would have moved and done all the things that God has called us to do. But each time, it's an act of obedience and dependence that we're seeking for the Lord.
It's not a foreign country, but we never expected to move to Indiana, okay? our parents, my family's all still in Georgia. Her parents are in Maryland, where we were before. So this missions thing doesn't have to necessarily cross international borders to cost you something, but to also be a blessing. So.
So to think about, now I'm gonna turn to you because you have probably, you've got your finger on the pulse, mm-hmm. right? Where in the world is the gospel really, really gaining traction? I mean, I'm sure that you have calls from different missionaries all over the world. where's the gospel really impacting people?
Well, number one, I'd say all over the place, and that's the encouraging thing. You know, even just for my role, we work with 200 missionaries, about 200 that are serving in 26 countries. So it's pretty out and about, but even then, so much good work happening. Some of the ways that we have most seen where it's truly, you can't keep count of the number of people who are making steps to follow Jesus. I mean, there's a lot happening in Africa and Asia and what we would call the two-thirds world. I'll say in Africa in particular, where CMF has had a long presence. We've had a long presence in Ethiopia and Kenya as well. I had the opportunity to go to Kenya in December to visit some of these ministries that I've heard about for many years. We've had missionaries that have been there for about 30 years. And I had the chance to meet a young man. He's in his early 30s by the name of Cephas Peter. And Cephas was a young boy when he first encountered some CMF missionaries. He lives in a part of Kenya called Turkana, which is desert land. And it truly is. You go there and you just see desert. I mean, it's like picture a movie where you don't see anything except sand. And then you have these pockets of trees every here and there. But Cephas was herding his goats for his family and met some missionaries. They took him under his wing. And he was always around them. And he became their friend. And they started to mentor him in the scriptures, as they were themselves teaching others how to read scripture. From there, it went on to he was baptized, came to follow the Lord, and is now a part of what are called Discovery Bible Studies. It's teaching people across this world just how to encounter scripture, most of them illiterate, but how to hear a passage of scripture and know who God is and then go out and share. And this model of DBS, or discovery making movements, really is happening across the world. Cephas now oversees a ministry that has had over 16,000 people come to the Lord in the last 10 years. He's trained up over 30 different disciple making movement leaders, and it's just where you see so much fruit.
Oh yeah.
So again, all over the world, but some of the stories that we've seen have been in places where there's just an openness. I will say, I can't say it more formally because we're on Facebook, but in some of the closed part of the world too, the underground church is alive and mm-hmm. well. Praise God. There's
yes.
beautiful work happening.
Yep. Man, I tell you, you know, the gospel has a way of, it just impacts people, right? And I was thinking about this story of Cephas. You know, what was it that caused him to do what he does today? You know, it all comes down to obedience, right? I mean, it comes down to obedience. I was in a church and I heard missionaries come in and they were talking about the things that were going on. And this one man, he shared, he's like, you know, we would go and we would plant churches and, you know, in very dangerous parts of the world. And we had these two young girls that kept following us. You know, what can we do? What can we do? What can we do? And he said, you need to go. So they did. These two girls traveled around for almost 3 years. They started like over 300 churches. They come back and they were giving a report and they were like, you know, this guy thought that they might have been killed because they've been gone for so long. And he's like, you know, what have you guys accomplished? Well, we started some churches. Oh, you started some churches. How many churches did you start? Maybe 300? 300 churches. How big are these churches? Well, you know, they all range from, you know, 10 to 15 to 300, 400. And you've done this all in 3 years. Yes. How in the world did you accomplish this with no one else helping you? They said, well, it all come down to this. We would get up every morning, we would pray, and then we would follow and do what he tells us to do. How simple. How simple is that? I mean, that's what it's all about, obedience. And that's not just in missions field. I mean, that's in everyday life, you know? Am I going to get up? Am I going to pray and say, God, what do you want me to do today? And then am I going to go do it? That's the question.
You know, in Matthew 28, that great commission from Jesus at the end of the gospel, it says, go into all the world. But if you nerd out on the Greek a little bit, it actually is... It says, as you are going.
Yeah.
It's kind of that verb form. So that's for all of us. Like yes. You're saying, when you go to work at your job, when you go to school, when you're in your neighborhood, when you're going to the grocery store, make disciples. What's the next thing before you that God's asking you to do in that moment of that day? That's missions. It doesn't have to be about... Now, there are great benefits to being global Christians and connecting with CMF and understanding all these different things that are happening, but it's not, it's every bit as local as it is global.
We don't get an out. It's a command,
right,
for every single one of us,
yes,
who follow Christ.
Yes.
Just one of the things to always say when, no matter what group you're talking to, is like, if you're like going, well, I know I'm not supposed to move to Africa so I can tune these people out. It's like, no, you're a missionary. If you're a Christian, you're a missionary, you know, in your mission field, in your life.
So transitioning to that just a little bit, mm-hmm, we've talked about, you know, world missions and things like that, the things that you have seen. My heart is, you know, community and right here, because, you know, we've just said that's part of our mission field is right here. You know, what do you see as the greatest challenge in America right now? Because I know that I've heard other missionaries talk about how Africa is actually sending missionaries to the States. Right?
Not just Africa. Yeah, lots of people from lots of different places are sending missionaries here now. And, you know, just the nature of our country is such a melting pot, always has been.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The world is right there. You know, even if you live in Milton, Indiana, it's the global community is right there, right around us all the time. So that's one part of the answer to that.
Yeah, I would say the polarization that we're seeing happen too on certain hot topics. And unfortunately, the church is not immune to that. And that's one of the hardest things, is that you see where our focus and our identity should be in being children of God, as you've talked about, mm-hmm, today already. You know, we can allow it to be on how we view a certain issue that's affecting our culture right now. And so that's one of the areas where I feel like as people of God, as we come back to joining God and God's mission in this world, it has a way to supersede these other divisive almost topics and help us be reminded of who we are and of how God has asked us to be a part of the work that he's doing in this world. It has an ability to unite us rather than tear us apart.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one of the greatest challenges I see.
I just thought of a story. We had some friends, CMF missionaries, have been in England for
30 years,
something like that. This is a few years ago when we were in Maryland, they came back and were spending some time in the States. And they had not been in the U.S. for several years.
Right.
So they came back, spent weeks or months in the States, and somebody said, "What do you notice?"
Mm-hmm.
And they said, "Everybody is so angry, and everybody is so afraid." And I think that really sums up life in the United States right now in a lot of ways, no matter where you fall politically or whatever. It's like anger and fear are pandemic, you know, and so that's part of what we got to be
vigilant against.
Vigilant and to work against and to bring it back to what's most important, like Aaron was saying.
You know, and when we, the amazing thing about, you know, the Matthew 28 is the very end of it. What does Jesus say?
"I will be with you."
Always. "I will be with you always." And if Jesus is with us always, do we have any fear? Well, heavens no, because perfect love drives out all fear. So I should fear nothing. I should fear nothing. And to be able to stand and in that gap and be fearless and bold in a world that is angry and fearful is a big thing. I mean, it's different, right? I mean, that should be one of the things that people see is that fearless love that comes out of each and every one of us.
Mm-hmm.
And that love should attract people. I mean, that's the most amazing thing to me about the forgiveness of Jesus Christ is how he will pull you in and draw you close and throw his arms around you. And man, that is amazing to me.
Mm-hmm.
And you just want to take it and share it with people, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you want people to see that amazing love of Christ work in their life.
Well, and I think, you know, even when you're saying that, Scott, you know, I'm thinking about John the Baptist, and that's one of the most beautiful things about John the Baptizer was recognizing it's all about Jesus, and it's my job to point to Jesus with my life, with my words, with every way that I live. And really, that's what we get to follow suit and be a part of now. And it allows us to be bold. It allows us to be joyful, like you just said, despite all that might be going on in and around us, we can move confidently forward in that.
And I think an important thing for being connected to like foreign missions is it gets us out of our bubble. You know what I mean? So we do have big time issues in this country, but there's this whole huge world out there, and there's this whole huge church, and there's this kingdom of God. And so when we become globally minded, it helps us to see both what we're overemphasizing and overprioritizing locally and nationally, and also maybe what is actually most important. So it rounds out our perspective and helps us understand what Christians are going through in other parts of the world, what the needs are, what the creative. That one of the cool things is like you may learn something as you get to know missionaries in rural Africa or campus ministers in Germany or whatever it might be, and go, "That's an idea that will really be great in Milton,
right,
Indiana." You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And vice versa. You might start supporting some missionaries and they'd be so encouraged and you know what I mean? And it's just this like cross-pollination that is this beautiful kingdom of God thing that we love to kind of just help make happen any chance
we
get.
Kind of like what Carol was talking about. We're all the body of Christ.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter if, you know, you're here, you're in Uganda, you're in China. It doesn't matter. We're all members of the body of Christ, and we all help each other out.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's great. So as we start to close up, how can small churches like us, how can we really begin to help the efforts of organizations like Christian Missionary Fellowship?
Yeah. Even to kind of piggyback on what Nathan started to say, I think when there's a community of faith like this community, you have the ability to play a substantial role in missions. You might think it seems so foreign and so unattainable, but the truth is, I have even seen right now, I'm being here this morning and seeing how you pray for one another, how you know one another, how you're involved in each other's lives, that's exactly the way that you can come around what God is doing in the rest of this world. To be an extension of your church and the ways that you were trying to live out the gospel. Nathan talked about resourcing one another. There are things that you are doing right now to care for one another that need to be done in other parts of this world. Likewise, what you said, there are ways that that transformation can happen on the other end of things too. And I get excited, even the story I shared about Cephas and Discovery Bible Studies, to know that what happens there and how the gospel is being lived out and shared in other parts of the world could be a blessing to you all too. It might be something as you do life groups. This is a different way of doing life groups that allows you to easily take it into your workplace, into your families, into other parts. So it is that resource sharing, the idea sharing, heavy prayers, visits.
Yeah, I would say if this church gets connected with missionaries through CMF or through whoever, if it's not a mutual blessing, then something's wrong. I think a lot of times people think about this stuff like, okay, well, we need to give money, we need to support the missionaries, and then maybe we'll hear from them every now and then. But no, it needs to be this beautiful relationship where you guys do your part, as you're one part of Mr. Potato Head, and they're another part that's over in wherever, and it's a blessing all around. And I was just sitting here thinking about some of our supporting churches when we were missionaries. Like, we had some larger churches that could send big money, and that was cool, We had some smaller churches that actually sent big money and blew us away. But the money is, like, only one part of it. And I don't want to rank them, but one of our best and favorite supporting churches was a church about like this, and they just were so thoughtful and proactive and involved, and they prayed for us by name, every month or two or three or whatever in their services, and they knew our kids' birthdays, and they sent us Jif peanut butter that we couldn't buy in Mexico, and they
came to visit us.
Yeah, they would send they would come down and see us and smell, taste, touch our ministry and get to know the college students. So there's so much more than like writing a check or whatever. It's like you really like adopt and take care of, and you send your, when you have college kids, you send them to do a summer reach internship with CMF or a study abroad semester with a Global Scope Campus Ministry or whatever. And it's just like this, think of it creatively, think of it holistically. And if it's not a blessing to Milton Christian Church, then we're missing half the equation,
And it's meant to be ongoing blessing, ongoing.
Yeah.
That's the beautiful part, to plant some seeds that can really multiply out from there.
Well, that is fantastic. I know that you guys have got some stuff set up in the back. You guys will be back there at the end of service if anyone would like to come back and take a look at what you have back there and to talk with you guys. And we're going to have the open Bible at the back if anyone would like to leave a love offering this morning. And then, we can start talking as a church, how do we get involved more heavily in missions. And I want to thank you guys for coming and sharing today. I know that I had a really good time up here, just having the conversation. I hope that everyone out there was blessed by our discussion today.
And you guys are blessed to have this guy as your pastor. You already know that, but I'm thankful.
We get in some really cool conversations at work, don't we?
Is that what you call it?
Is that what you call it? Oh, I like you.
We didn't say this, but like CMF is based out of Indianapolis. Been around since just after World War II. So it's, I don't know if you knew that, but it's local and just been a cool ministry that's been around a long time right here, right down the road here. So.
Yeah, well, how about I pray for you guys and pray as we close, and then we'll have our final closing hymn as soon as we're done. Father, we love you and we thank you for the opportunity that we've had today just to have a fantastic conversation with Aaron and Nate. And I just pray blessings upon them and their work. I know Aaron is working with CMF in a full-time role, and Nate is really not right now, but he is impacting the kingdom in other ways. Father, we just give you thanks for that. Lord, I pray that as we close our service today, Father, that you would just sink it into our hearts that, you know, we are all in the mission field. We are all called to go and to make disciples. Father, that we are dependent upon Jesus Christ as he is the one who leads.